Part of what we'll experience in heaven is a whole new definition of city life, which Skip Heitzig says isn't something a lot of people are really excited for.
You know, some people are a little bit put off that heaven will include a city. They think that, well, this is heaven. It should have like lots of beach and lots of open spaces, and I think that's going to be there on the new earth. But they somehow don't like the idea that it's going to be this big city. All I can say to that is God would disagree, because it's going to be there. And the obvious point, perhaps, is that heaven is going to be a very social place. It's going to be a restored, renewed community where we interact with God and we interact with each other.
Make the connection.
Not long ago, Popular Science did an interesting article on what the cities of the future would be like, covering everything from transportation to power to living to business. However, their predictions aren't the first that have ever been made about where we'll live one day. In fact, just about 2,000 years ago, the Bible made its own predictions about the futuristic city those of us who follow Christ will one day live in. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig continues to examine what the Bible reveals about this remarkable city of the future. But first, Christmas is getting close, and if you'd like some help with gift ideas, I think we might have just the thing for you.
What do you do on a daily basis to stay healthy? Do you eat well? Exercise? Spend time with friends and family? What about spiritually? What do you do to stay spiritually healthy? The Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig can help you get into the healthy habit of spending time in God's Word each day. It's the perfect Christmas gift to encourage someone you know to start a spiritually healthy habit. Get the Daily God Book along with Prayer, Praise and Promises by Warren Wiersbe, both hardbacks, for just $24 when you visit connectionradio.org. Also, look for other great gift ideas, including a collection of 2 new Bible studies and 4 refresh booklets from Lenya Heitzig. Just call 1-800-922-1888 and ask for that, or the special gift set of the Daily God Book by Skip and Prayer, Praise, and Promises from Warren Wiersbe. Plus, every order also comes with a free bonus Christmas CD and free shipping. Visit connectionradio.org.
And just a reminder, tomorrow is the last day we can guarantee to get your order to you before Christmas. So plan ahead, place an order, and we'll make sure it's there under your tree. Just call 1-800-922-1888. You know, it's always fun to speculate about what the future will bring, but even Popular Science's cutting-edge predictions seem mundane compared to what the Bible reveals the real city of the future will actually be like. Stay tuned for more here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
If you'll open your Bibles once again to Revelation chapter 21, Skip Heitzig begins our study today with a story that reveals that heaven is much sweeter than just a few cookies.
Well, you may have heard about the elderly gentleman who was on his deathbed. He only had days to live, and everybody knew it, including himself. One afternoon, the old guy smelled a familiar aroma. It was his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Well, this sort of gave him a new lease on the last few days of his life. He managed to push himself out of bed, get up, lean himself against the wall, work his way to the edge of the room, find the railing, went down the stairs. Took him a long time, but he made it. And he slumped himself toward the threshold of the kitchen and looked in the kitchen, and there, spread out on newspaper, were hundreds of chocolate chip cookies. And he thought, am I in heaven? Or is this the last act of kindness from a devoted wife who wants her husband to leave this earth experiencing one last pleasure? All those thoughts tumbled through his mind. His last bit of energy, he lunged toward the counter, crumpled over on his knees. His parched lips parted. He could already taste it in his mouth. And that withered hand reaching forward to grab one cookie, and it was smacked by a spatula. And his wife said, "Stay out of those. They're for the funeral." Poor old Kai. Just wants one final pleasure, and his wife's already burying him. Well, we have spent, including today, 16 weeks looking at what happens to a Christian when that Christian dies and is in the presence of the Lord and awaits the resurrected body and what the resurrected body will be like and what heaven will be like and all of the different phases of eternity, including the millennial kingdom and what we'll be doing in it. And all that we have discovered, we got to admit, it's a whole lot better than a few cookies. What God has planned for us. Well, last couple of times, and today, we're looking at that last piece, the final installment, which we call the eternal state. It includes new heaven, new earth, and a new city. You know, some people are a little bit put off that heaven will include a city. They think that, well, this is heaven. It should have like lots of beach and lots of open spaces, and I think that's going to be there on the new earth, but they somehow don't like the idea that it's going to be this big city. All I can say to that is God would disagree, because it's going to be there. And the obvious point, perhaps, is that heaven is going to be a very social place. It's going to be a restored, renewed community where we interact with God and we interact with each other on a whole new, intimate level. Now, I just want to cover this thought again before we dive into it. Some actually believe that what we read in Revelation 21 and 22 is not physical at all. It's not a real city. It's simply an allegorical presentation in the Bible of the people of God. Well, all I can say to that is it's called a city over and over and over again. And not only that, it's given actual dimension, right? It's given color, materials, texture, and it's laid out. It's measured 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And we saw last time that means just the base level is 2,250,000 square miles. That's just the first level. You got to go up 1,500 miles. It's a huge city. And it's able to house every redeemed person who has ever lived. Now, John gets a personal tour of this city. You know, in the Bible, there's only two people in the New Testament that saw a vision of heaven. One was Paul, the other was John. Now, Paul doesn't help us very much because he says, yeah, I was taken to the third heaven, and it's just so cool, I can't even tell you about it. So, well, that doesn't help us. John, however, was told to write these things down. And we're given this description. Last time, we looked at the description of the outside of the city. And now we look at the inside of the city. Today, we view it from the inside, not the outside. This is the walkthrough today, where we see it as we go in and we notice what's not there and what is there and who's not there and what they're doing there. This is the inside of the city, as spoken by John. Let's look at it in verse 22 of Revelation 21, and we'll follow down several verses. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So what we have here is the internal view of the eternal city. And because John approaches it a bit different than the outside view, we're gonna notice in closing, and I say in closing because this is really the last study in this series. We'll do a summary explanation next week, but this is really the last, this is the end of it. So I'm going to give you this morning five conditions that will sum up life in the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, heaven, the eternal state. The first condition I want you to notice is what I call proximity. Now in verse 22, John, first thing he notices is there's no temple in New Jerusalem. And later on in chapter 22, it says they're going to see his face. There's a close intimacy and proximity. That means we don't need a temple in heaven. Now understand that to ancient peoples, it was unthinkable to have a great city without temples. Every great city had several temples, and even the city of Jerusalem had at its centerpiece the great temple where God was worshipped and animals were sacrificed. But the idea here is that you don't need one. The Lord God is the temple, and the Lamb, they're the temple. So in heaven, you and I will have direct access to God. No need of a holy place. You don't need a church, a cathedral, a chapel, a synagogue, a house of worship. You don't need special days of worship. And there won't be separate groups gathering in heaven, grumbling, let's make another heaven. We don't really like this place. Like there happens to be on earth. I heard about a guy who was stranded on a desert island. You may have heard this. He was there all alone. And finally, after years, he was rescued. And the captain of the ship that rescued him noticed that there were three huts on the island. The captain said, now, wait a minute. I thought you were stranded here all alone. The guy said, well, I was. The first hut, that's my house. That's where I lived. And the second hut was my church where I went every week. And the captain said, well, what's the third hut? The guy said, that's the church I used to go to. None of that in heaven. God's presence will literally fill every spot, every place in the new heaven, the new earth, and the new city. Now, you know, it's always been God's desire to be close to his people, to be in close proximity to his people. Before the fall of man, God was seen walking with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. But sin marred that. Sin ruined that. And there was a separation between God and man. And so the Lord provided a tabernacle where he could be worshiped, and then later on a temple where he could be worshiped. But there was still distance between God and man in those places. You couldn't just barge in. You had to go to a priest who represented God to you. You couldn't walk into the Holy of Holies. There were courts that separated you from God's presence. There was a sacrifice you would have to bring to be worthy. But the Lord Jesus has always anticipated this very time. You remember one of his great promises is, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's always been his desire. And Jesus prayed in John 17 these words, Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Listen, in heaven, you'll never feel far from God ever again. If you feel that way today, if you feel lonely, you'll never feel that way ever again. You'll be totally satisfied all the time. You'll be in his presence. You'll see his face. Have you ever been at a camp or a retreat or even a worship service where it's just so powerful? It's almost like you can touch and feel the presence of God. And it's so utterly cool, you feel like, I don't ever want to leave. That's how heaven's going to be like all the time. That's why there's no need of a temple, because of proximity. The second condition that will be in this eternal city is what I call majesty or glory, God's glory. Look at verse 23 of chapter 21. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory or majesty of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. And notice this parenthetical statement, there shall be no night there. Now we're getting a little bit of insight into what the conditions will be like in this new setup, right? New universe, new heaven, new earth, new city. Very different dynamic than what we presently know now. You see, on our earth now, we depend on cycles of the sun and the moon and alternate conditions of light and darkness. For instance, the moon provides tides for the ocean. It controls the flow of tides in the sea. But that isn't an issue here because there's no what? There's no sea. Verse 1 of chapter 21, there was no ocean. And so there's no need for the moon. There's no need for the sun. There's never going to be a night there. Never going to be night. Now, just to remind you what John saw so far, is this city itself is so well lit that when he first saw it, it was like this gigantic cube, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, descending from heaven toward earth, and light was cascading out of it, pouring forth from it. Huge light show, dazzling. And the way I described it last time, it's like a giant holy of holies coming down toward the earth. I said that because the only place we find a cube where God dwelled was in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies. It was 15 feet wide, 15 feet deep, and 15 feet tall. A perfect cube. And that's in the tabernacle where the ark was kept. And so this new city of Jerusalem is sort of like the Holy of Holies on steroids. 1,500 miles cubed coming from heaven toward the earth. And notice in our verse that the source of this light is the Father and the Son. They're together glorified. A very different kind of light. Visible light today as we know it. Visible light is part of the electromagnetic spectrum. This is the stuff I used to have to study. And the retina of your eye responds to the measurement on the electromagnetic spectrum of somewhere between 390 and 740 nanometers in wavelength. That's what it responds to. But light as we know it usually has a source of combustion or fuel that burns and needs to be replenished, whether it's sunlight or whether it's a light bulb. But notice here that God Almighty and the Lamb are the source of light. This is from the majesty and the glory of God. It never runs out. God isn't going to say after 20,000 years, I'm sort of tired of shining now. It says there's going to be no night there. Ponder that for a moment. No night. Experts tell us that human emotions can become very vulnerable late afternoon and early evening. Not with everyone, but with quite a few people. It's called sundowner syndrome. And it is more acute in the elderly. In fact, in pre-Alzheimer conditions, they say that certain people can become very agitated and confused in late afternoon and early evening when the sun is setting. Darkness does something to us. I have a friend who lost a son recently, and when I was with him, he said, you know what? I dread nighttime. I hate it when it's dark because your thoughts are focused. You're not distracted by visible things in this world that is shown by light. There's going to be no night there because the glory of God permeates that place, God's majesty. Do you remember when Jesus in John 17 prayed that prayer, and part of it is where he said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Remember that part of the prayer? Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. This is the answer to that prayer. They're together, they're glorified, and it's radiant, it's brilliant, it's majestic. Heaven will display the glory of God.
Well, despite just how bizarre some of what the Bible reveals about the New Jerusalem may sound, doesn't it sound like the kind of place you'd like to live? Well, you can, you know. All you need is a relationship with Christ, and a mansion will be built and waiting for you when Jesus comes to take us home. Would you like to reserve your place in that remarkable city? Then give us a call. Let us share with you how you can secure that reservation by giving your life to Christ. We'd be happy to explain what that means and show you how you can do that when you call 1-800-922-1888. That's about all the time we have for today, but before we go, here's Skip and Lenya with a few tips on how to help our kids distinguish fact from fiction during this Christmas season.
We've talked about heaven today, and I couldn't help but think it sometimes sounds like a fantasy world, or that it's not real. Streets of gold and pearly gates, and at this time of year, we have things that are confusing to kids. They hear about Jesus and heaven, but they also hear about Santa Claus and elves. And so how do we help our children differentiate between those fantasies and stories and something that's biblical and true? And is it okay? I mean, is Santa bad or good? Or
well, first of all, you talk about the difference between Santa and biblical truth, but what people need to understand is Santa Claus was a real person. He wasn't called Santa Claus, but he was a bishop in Myra in ancient Anatolia or Turkey. We would call it modern-day Turkey. And he was known, Nicholas was known for giving gifts to people who were poor and helping those who were downtrodden. And he gave gifts. And the whole tradition of Santa Claus is rooted in a church leader who loved Jesus enough to show God's love to God's people. So What the devil does, he takes truths and then he embellishes them or changes them. And I would start there. I would start letting kids know that we're talking about a real historical figure and somebody that we should actually emulate and follow. And then he sort of got changed as time went on and people fabricated and added things. But there's truth in a lot of that storytelling stuff. Well, what makes the Bible different is you talk about heaven and streets of gold is when it comes to the difference between mythology and truth, you don't have, like in Greek mythology, you don't have a truth married in with any of the mythology. It's just these grandiose stories of winged creatures and, you know, speaking lizards and gods and goddesses. The Bible talks about heaven with real measurements. It was this big. It was this long. I saw this. I heard that. It's normal human experiences that can be seen in this, in like the vision of John, not only subjectively, but objectively, because it's compared with other text, other testimonies of Scripture. Big difference between mythological stories and biblical stories. The paradigm's completely different. But we can start letting kids know that a lot of what they've been told is myth, like Santa Claus, is actually real and where it came from, and help them really understand Christmas.
To integrate that, you know, I think our children learn to live like the North Pole is a real place. We tell them not, you know, better be careful, naughty or nice.
Right.
So much better to live like heaven is a real place.
That's right.
Because it really is real, and being naughty or nice and your relationship with Jesus is everything. And so perhaps that's more important emphasis for them.
It's a good segue. This is a great time of the year where people's hearts are beginning to open up a little bit more. They will tolerate the manger scene. You know, there's doors or windows, at least, that are opened in people's experiences that allow us to go in and share the gospel, to tell them the rest of the story, as it's been said.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And if you'd like a copy of Skip's teaching from today, it's available on CD for just $6, which includes shipping. You can order a copy by calling us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit us online at connectionradio.org. And when you contact us, be sure to mention that this was your first time joining us so we can send you a free bonus teaching from Skip. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And make sure you mention that this was your first time to contact The Connection to get that free teaching from Skip.
And make the connection.
Covered a lot of ground already, but we still have more to explore, so I hope you'll join us again next time as we continue to take a look at the true future town. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.